It's real.
That be. All right. Hebrews chapter number 2. We'll start reading verse number 9. If you see me blow snot and boogers and spit and all that, don't worry about it. You've done the same thing. I've seen most of you sleep and every one of you slobber. But I've just had a good sickness this week. And but God's good. Amen. It's been good to me. He's letting me work all week and keep on going. And man, I'm telling you, that's a blessing. That's a real blessing. But here, let's start reading verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9 says, one of the most important things that we'll ever do. But we see Jesus. Amen. Boy, I tell you, if we do that, that's the, you know, they talk about the game breaker. That right there is the game breaker. That's the deal maker right there. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Boy, you hear me? God is my brother. Amen. Jesus Christ is my brother this morning. Amen. I'm glad to have two of my brothers here today, but I'm glad, thank God, I got up with my big brother this morning. Amen. It's good to be a brother to Jesus, friend. Amen. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death. That is the devil. Amen. That was his purpose, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy the works of Satan, to destroy the devil. And to deliver them, he didn't just stop there. He said, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. Zach, if you will, pray for us right there.
Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here at the house of God once again. Dear God, we pray that you bless the service.
Help us,
dear
God.
We pray that you would touch the man of God as he preaches. Dear Lord, I pray, God, that you'd open the eyes, the blinded mind of those that are lost, that are without Christ. God, I pray, dear God, that you would help those which are saved this morning to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we pray today, dear Lord, that you'd bless this service. God, each and every one of us, God, have needs from the Lord. Dear God, I need you. My family needs you. This church needs you today.
Yep.
God, more than we need our own necessary food, Lord, we need you today. Dear God, we need you in the United States of America. And I pray, God, that you would raise up some men of God, Lord, that will preach the word and be in season and out of season. God, I pray that you would touch our pastor to preach the word of God, Lord, without compromise. But I pray that he'd preach the word of God and be in season and out of season. God, that he'd reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. God, I pray today, dear God, that you'd help him. God, I pray that you'd help us, dear God. Lord, that our hearts would be prepared to hear the word of God. God, that we'd harden not our hearts. God, that we'd tenderize our hearts. Oh, God, you God. Said, circumcise yourselves unto the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. God, to take away that hard and stony heart. God, I pray today, dear God, Lord, that our hearts would be prepared to hear the precious word of God. I pray today, dear God, Lord, that we'd repent of our sins, dear God, that we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are lost, dear God, that they believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, that they'd see themselves as God sees them. God, that us as a church would see ourselves as God sees us, not as the world sees us, not as our wives or husbands or brothers or sisters see us, but as God sees us, Lord. That's what we need today. God, I pray that you'd help us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I want to look at that thought in verse number 15. One of the two things that Jesus came to do. To deliver through fear. To deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. I just want to get it out early and say, first of all, that I want to thank God for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to listen real good to me, because you probably don't hear a lot of this in America anymore. Thank you, Isaiah. I want to thank God for my freedom, Steve. I didn't say anything about a soldier. I didn't say anything about a war, because I did not get one ounce of my freedom from any soldier that has ever lived in the history of the world. I didn't get any of my freedom from any war that was ever created by any government or any man in the history of this world. You understand me and understand me well. I stand before you today a free man, being made free, not by man, not by the works of man, but by Jesus Christ and Christ alone. The freedoms that you have in this country did not come from a soldier. They did not come from a man. They was not the fruits of a war, but it come from the very throne of God. God is the one that established the freedoms that we enjoy today. Amen. Wasn't the Constitution, wasn't your forefathers, it wasn't the soldier, it wasn't the sailor, it was Jesus, thank God. That's what your Bible said. But we see Jesus. I'm just trying to get our eyes off of everything else and let us look at Jesus for a minute. Amen. Because if the government had anything to do with your freedom, if a flying bullet had anything to do with your freedom, it was God, friend, that put the strength in that finger. It was God, friend, that put the breath in them lungs. It was God that made it possible for you to be here today and have this freedom. Amen. So I want to thank God, first of all, for the freedom that we have in Jesus. Amen. I'm grateful for the men in uniforms. I'm grateful for the armed forces. I thank God for every bit of that. But I know down deep inside of me that one of these days, or in the days gone by, Ephesians 2:8 came real into my life. Amen. I know that I was enslaved in the bondage of sin according to the Bible in Hebrews 2:15. I was enslaved in the bondage of sin, but Ephesians 2:8 came alive. For by grace are you saved, and through faith, that not of yourselves. It is faith is the gift of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I want to thank God for that. You want to know who God gives this gift to? Listen real close to me today. And then I dare you to challenge the Word of God. I want you to listen to this. Do you want to know who God gives the gift of faith to? To those, according to Hebrews 11:6, who diligently seek after Him. That's right, friend. You don't just stumble upon Jesus. You don't just fall up in His lap. The Bible said they that seek Him diligently, He'll reward them, friend. I'm going to tell you what He rewards a person with. The faith to get them to the other side. The faith to really believe in the Son of God. If God didn't give you this gift, then the vast majority of the world would die and go to heaven, because the vast majority of the world believes in Jesus. The devil himself would end up going to heaven, because he, friend, believes probably more than all of us put together in Jesus being the Son of God. But he does not have that gift of faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Makes the difference. It makes the difference. In this passage of Scripture, we can see Jesus Christ has tasted death for every man. I thank God that he did not die, thank God, according to the retarded Calvinists, for the select few. But as far as I can understand, Steve, he died. The Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I don't know about you, but everybody I've ever known was born lost. Born lost. Born without God. Born in sin. Shapen in iniquity. Born, the Bible said, speaking lies. So Jesus came to die for all mankind. He came to set all men free. He came and shed his blood to cover the sins of all of the world. Not just a select few. But I'll tell you one thing, friend. If you're going to get it, you're going to have to get after him. You're going to have to start seeking after God. You're going to have to search him diligently. You hear me? I said diligently. I mean, that's why for years this fundamentalist has lambasted coming to an altar and popping bubble gums and coming to an altar on an emotional trip. Coming down to an altar because somebody put a scare tactic on us. I'm telling you, friend, it's more than that. More than that. Jesus died to save everybody. The Bible clearly states that Jesus came to save and seek and to save that which was lost. I say every man that's born is in need of salvation. And I say that God gives man this opportunity. Not only changes this man, but gives a man peace. Hey, there's people go, man, how do I know I'm saved? Because when you get saved, there'll be a real settled peace in your soul. Amen. The turmoil's gone. Hey, let me give you a shocker in America today. The doubts are gone. Yes. There's a Bible salvation, ladies and gentlemen, that when a man gets born again, God gives him a faith that removes those doubts. Amen. You got doubts? You better not shun them. You better embrace them. That's good, preacher. Hallelujah. That's real good. Thank you, preacher. I'm telling you, there is a salvation in this Bible that will remove the doubts. It's a blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. The Bible calls it not a partial assurance, but a full assurance. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a peace. Come hell or come high waters, there's a calming in the soul that you know that if you don't wake up another day, that you'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ. He'll change you, Zach. Hey, congregation, he'll change you. Bible says, if therefore we may be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Man, I'm telling you, a new creation in Christ. You don't act the same. You don't talk the same. You don't drink the same stuff. I mean, you don't go to the same places. Jesus Christ will change a man. Hallelujah. Sure he does. I came to tell you today that you cannot deal with your sin. Just can't do that. Jesus Christ gives us peace. I want you to hear me and you hear me well. Listen to me. I don't want to skip this. If you're plagued, listen real good. Because most Baptists won't tell you this. If you're plagued with doubts, you better not shun them doubts. You better not say the devil's involved in me. Let me ask you a question. Why in the name of God would the devil try to raise a doubt in you so that you can get your salvation settled? He's not going to do that. That sucker will take that little false profession you got, that little counterfeit, that little piece of junk whitewashed salvation, and he'll start petting you and peppering you. He'll tell you you've got it. He'll send you a preacher to tell you to remember that prayer you prayed. That'll tell you all kind of things. But I'm telling you, God puts a doubt there so that you'll go to him and check up, friend. It's a full assurance. Full assurance. God sent that doubt. Do you hear me? If you can hear the word of God and it creates a doubt in you, you better embrace that because listen, if you have doubts, then I have doubts. If you have doubts, I doubt you ever got it. Friend, ain't nobody in this building ever been any sorrier than me. But I tell you, I know what God done for me out there in them woods. I know the night that he passed me from death unto life. I've not been a model Christian, but I know that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and I don't care what comes my way, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. My salvation settled, friend. That was the faith that Jesus put in me. See, Zach, up until that time, I had faith that my mama told me Jesus was the Son of God. And I can remember Roger sitting up there in Temple Baptist Church as far back as that. And I can remember that Sunday school teacher putting them little figures on the final graph board. I never one time had a doubt about Noah, Moses. I never doubted Joshua. I never had any doubts with that. But friend, that faith right there was a good old American historical faith. But it wasn't going to get me to heaven. It took that gift out of Ephesians 2:8. That's faith of Jesus Christ. Listen, I said this here not long ago. When Jesus was on the cross, if you'll read over in the book of Psalms, Jesus Christ himself said, I would have fainted had it not been for the word of God. Jesus Christ would have fainted over there on Calvary. But when he got over there and he started growing weak, you listen to me, church, he got to remembering them promises in the Word of God. Whoa, when them breaths was getting harder to take and it was coming time to faint, he could remember something that the Father said, and it helped Jesus go on another mile. Finish Calvary. Finish that sacrifice. Finish shedding his blood. Now I'm telling you, church, we better get to the word of God and what thus saith the word. I'm telling you, if his stuff plagues us, if his doubts plague us, there was a faith that Jesus Christ had even on the cross that wouldn't allow him to doubt. There was a faith that Jesus Christ had on the cross of Calvary that wouldn't allow him to faint or to give up or to give in. He never had a doubt in what his Father said. Not one time did he doubt what his Father said. Nope. I'm just trying to say, but there's a salvation in this blessed old book right here that most preachers don't preach anymore. And they shun me and cuss us for preaching this kind of stuff and call it heresy and everything else. But I'm telling you what, if you're going to do away with full assurance, you're going to have to take away a lot of scriptures out of that Bible. You're going to have to take out a lot of commas. You're going to have to take out a lot of periods. You're going to have to just go get you an NIV somewhere and settle for some perverted word, because the word of God settles it. There is a salvation that'll give you a peace, that'll give you an assurance that the devil himself can't shake. Amen. That's right, friend. You say, what is that faith? The faith of Jesus Christ. It's the faith that Jesus had while on the cross. Friend, I didn't have that kind of faith. My mama couldn't instill that in me. The Sunday school teacher couldn't put that in me. But I'm telling you, thank God, Jesus Christ, that day I come to him, God said, I'm going to give him that gift. Let him have the faith of Christ and pass him from death unto life. Right. I came to tell you this morning, you can't deal with that bondage that you're in. You can't do that. You can't overcome your sin. I tell you, you might be able to stop a few things, but you can't rise above it. What do we do? What do we do when we can't get above our sin? Thank God, I'm glad you asked me. You can go to Calvary. That's what Calvary does. Calvary will lift you above the burden of sin, son. I'm telling you, to give you victory over sin. Where the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm telling you, thank God, you can count yourself dead into that sin now. What do? We go to Jesus Christ. Thank God, when you get to him, Zach was talking about it in Sunday school. When you get to Jesus Christ, you've got a filthy, rotten, black heart. We've said this 1,000 times around here. There ain't but one thing in this world more wicked than the devil. And it's that heart lying within the chest of a sinner. I mean, that very soul, that inner being, that heart of man, the Bible said, is desperately wicked above all things. More deceitful than the devil. When it comes to wickedness, friend, when it comes to deceit, oh, my kid's been so deceitful at times growing up. When it comes to deceit, the devil has to take second seat to that wicked heart. That heart's so much more wicked than the devil. So much more black. That devil ain't come up with the imaginations that our heart has come up with. Oh God, how deceitful and then Zach on top of all that, Roger, on top of our wicked heart, it begins to tell us how good we are. Oh, I'm a pretty good old boy. I'm a pretty good old girl. I'm a good mom. I'm a good dad. I'm a good spouse. I work. I pay my bills. I do my tithes. I pay my taxes. And I'm telling you, that heart is lying to you. Your righteousness is filthy rags. And that wicked heart is going to cast you into hell one day. While you're thinking you're okay. I got to thinking about yesterday, Steve. This has absolutely nothing to do with it. Yesterday or the day before, I was thinking about when Jesus gives them angels in heaven the order to grab that sinner up. The Bible says he's going to cast them into the lake of fire. Friend, if you'll look at that word cast, and I ain't talking about the Greek and stuff, I'm talking about in your Bible, follow it through your Bible. I mean, that word cast is something that's done by force. It's not a politically correct movement. It's not a polite thing. I'm telling you, it's rather rude and aggressive. But when Jesus gives that angel a command, they're going to lay a hold of that sinner, snatch his tail up, and cast him into the bottomless pit. Never think twice, never look back. Bible said, listen to me. Jesus said, when them people sit up at the throne, that great white throne, and they're begging for mercy, he said, listen, wisdom was up on the chief corner places. Wisdom stood out on the streets. Wisdom was in the pulpits. He's talking about Jesus. Everywhere you ever had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus has cried out all your life. But the Bible said you would not his counsel. You wouldn't come to him. He says, so that day when your fear comes upon you and that judgment falls in your life and you begin to scream, beg God for mercy. He said, he's going to laugh at your calamities. He's going to mock about Jesus Christ, the King of glory. He's going to sit there and mock you when you begin to weep and beg for mercy. How about Jesus Christ? Oh, the Lamb of God that sits there and laughs at you when you're weeping and begging. It ain't going to bother him, friend. He's given us every opportunity. I'm telling you, he's given us light. He's given us truth. And we've said the hell of this thing. I want what I want. That's our wicked heart. That's our wicked heart. I can remember, Steve, the many times in my life where I made resolutions. I can remember the times where I turned over leaves. And I even made a stab a time or two. Michael even turned over some stinking trees in my life. I'm talking about quitting things. Man, New Year's would roll around. I'd say, man, I'm going to quit smoking. And I'm telling you, by sunup, I mean, you get your last draw and get you some nicotine in your system. And boy, as long as that nicotine was in there, you could throw that pack away and say, I ain't never doing it again. That nicotine left you, man. You got the jonesing for some more nicotine. Be right there down at the store buying some more. I made resolution, I made attempts, I made stabs to rise above my sin. And there was things that I quit, and there was things that God granted me grace when he was dealing with me to repent from. But it took God, ladies and gentlemen, it took God to deliver me from my sin. Sure it does. You know, I get to thinking, I was thinking about it yesterday, when I was at my best, lost, and I was repenting, trying to get to the Lord. And there was things that I was quitting and God was dealing with me. Listen to me. I know some people's made comments in here and I'm not being ugly. I want you to understand. I want to try to help you with this. You cannot get to God outside of obedience. Now I made a statement in here the other day that if God rebukes you for chewing bubble gum, then bless God, you ought to quit. You ought to repent chewing bubble gum. And I made this comment, if you remember. Y'all remember I said that? And I said this, I said, I know bubble gum is a penny ante thing to bring up. Can I tell you something? It's the most important thing in the world if God brings it up. If God brings up chewing gum, it's the most important thing in the world, friend, that you obey him and quit doing what he says. That's right. I believe everybody sitting in this congregation saved and lost. And some of you know you're saved and some of you know you're lost. I think the Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him it is sin. I don't believe you can live in an ugly, grotesque sin and never get to God. If you're going to get to God, son, you're going to have to come before him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You might start repenting before you ever get there. You hear me? You might start changing your mind about this whole life and this world and your habits and your ways. to get to God that's diligently seeking after Him. Keep paying tithes because it's right. God honors right. If you saved, if you lost, paying tithes is right. Everybody ought to pay tithes. I mean, everybody ought to read their Bible. Everybody ought to pray. Everybody ought to love their neighbor. Everybody ought to help their mankind. Everybody ought to be kind one to another. Just some things we ought to do, son. Saved and lost, church. Say, how do I get to God? You start obeying God. Anybody remember Cornelius? Over there in the book of Acts, you remember him? How he prayed and plugged into God. Old boy was lost and suddenly paid his tithes. He went to church. He was one of the best Christians in the world, but he was lost. And here's what God said. God said, Cornelius' prayers has come up before me. I'm going to honor you now, son, for doing the right thing. I'm going to honor you for honoring me. You've been obedient in the truths of God. Now, Cornelius, I want you to get your family. I want you to get the whole household and bring them in here. I'm not just going to save you. I'm going to save the whole bunch of you, son. You just keep on being faithful. You keep on being obedient. Son, you can't beat obedience. Zach talked about it before. We like to label all the most important things in this Christian life. The most important thing you'll ever do is obey the Word of God. That's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. Oh, it's good to get a good job. It's good to raise a good family. It's good to be faithful. But friend, outside of trusting and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all vain and vexation of the Spirit. Comes to naught. Let's go real quick to Psalms 107. We'll look at some of this bondage. Psalms 107. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth, listen, are you listening right here? For He satisfieth the longing soul. Son, right there, we could just hammer down. That's that bondage, ladies and gentlemen. Steve, I'm not going to be graphic, but can you remember being lost? Can you remember that bondage is in? Can you remember the load that your old soul was under? I mean, the Bible says the way of the transgressor's heart. Can you remember how hard that was on you just having to do what you had to do? The Bible said Jesus satisfies that longing. Look at verse number 10. Such as sit in darkness. This is who the Lord delivers. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. That's Jesus setting sinners free right there. Affliction in verse number 10 is a type of sin. That iron is a type of being bound in prison. Old Brother Red Kirby's old lady used to sing, like a man locked up in prison, I had no one to go my bail. And every time I sought for freedom, all endeavors only failed. There I was in sin's dark dungeon, bound in chains of misery. Until the Lord paid me a visit, I locked my cell and set me free. I'm telling you, friend, thank God you hear me, for the day that Jesus comes and takes the shackles off of your soul and the Spirit of God steps into your heart and makes you a free man. Hallelujah. Thank God, what a happy day. We can see a lost person's locked up in sin's prison. And though you might like to think that you're your own person, and a lot of people do like to think they're their own person, they're doing their own thing. But I say, nay, you're either doing the will of God, listen, or you're doing the will of Satan.
No man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. You're either going to do what God wants or you're either going to do what the devil wants. I'm telling you, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. He's going to love the one and hate the other. I'm telling you, if you're not serving God, if you're not obeying God, if you're not walking in the commands of God, I'm talking about that blessed book, friend. If you're not walking in that word, you are walking in the will of Satan. And he's your father. And the sooner you face that, the sooner he can save you. So I'm saved. I'm saved. If you're saved, the Bible says that you'll obey his commands. That's right, J.D. He said, if you're saved, you'll do whatsoever I say. That's right. That sounds pretty simple, ain't it, Zach? I don't have to judge nobody, son. The Word of God's the judge. You hear me? That's right. The Word of God's the one that picks it apart. You got a problem, go shake your fist at God about it. Go grab your Bible and rip some Bible pages. Don't mess with me about it. I'm just telling you what God said. God said, if you're my son, if you're my child, then you'll obey my commands. You do as I say to do. But if you ain't willing to do that, then you're following your other daddy, which is Satan. One or the other, you ain't serving both. Which one of them's your master today? Which one of them are you serving? Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for God. I'm asking you, which one are you serving this morning? Hey, let me tell you something. Every one of you, Jesus was sitting there at your house this morning. Jesus come down there at your house this morning. How many of y'all cared enough on a Sunday morning to get up and sit at the feet of Jesus? Oh, I'm going to church. I didn't ask you if you was going to church. I said, how many of you cared enough about Jesus to get up this morning and go sit at his feet and spend a little long time with him before you even got here? He was at your house. Do you care enough about him to spend a little time with him? Church is a pretty nice show. But here's what the Lord said. The Lord said, I'm not honoring you for all that. He said, I'm honoring you for what you do in the secret place. He said, I'll reward you in the public place. What I see you do in private, he said, when I see you do that, I'm going to go down at the church with you and show up and show out. That's right. Boy, I would to God everybody would think about it a little bit. Hey, listen, I ain't felt good all week and I ain't trying to pump myself up, Michael, but I've been under the weather, been working probably 18 hours every day this week and just around the clock. And I'm telling you, bud, God, get me up in the mornings and be able just to sit down with him. I didn't feel like getting up this morning, but I thought about Jesus sitting in my living room all alone. I said, God, I don't want him to sit in that living room because I'm going to need him for sure in a few hours. And boy, I don't want to forsake him now. I need him with me when I go down to the house of God. I better get up and go in there. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to quench him. I don't want to push him out. I want to love him. Amen. I want to do what he says. Right. I didn't say I was a good person. I'm just telling you, I try to be sensitive to that stuff. Jesus is a real person. He wants to fellowship. He wants to come in there in your living room and sit down and talk with you for a while. How does he talk? Open your Bible. He'll talk to you. People bowed in sin. Jesus came to set them free. Look at verse 11. Why is people so bound in their sin, Zach? Why is people so wrapped up in that bondage, Steve? Why in the world are people's lives in such a mess? I got two books sitting right here in my briefcase right now. I challenge any one of you young people to sit down for an hour and read any one of them books and come back and tell me that people's lives is not in a mess. They're in a mess. Little old girl sitting over on their bed weeping herself through the night. Contemplating suicides, many of them achieving it. They got websites, Michael, where these little girls is on there glorifying anorexia. I mean, just skin and bones where they strip down and show their bodies. And little girls, you go through the drive-thru and you see slashes on her arms. Where she's a slasher, you say, preacher, what are you talking? I'm coming up being bound in affliction, friend. People's looking for something. We're in a sad, sad day God, all we can do most of the time is think about ourselves. Think about me. Why is people in such a mess? It's not no deep, dark secret. Look at verse number 11. It tells us why the world's in such a mess. Because they rebelled against the words of God. There ain't nothing else to it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the only reason why people get in a mess. Because they rebel against the words of God. Because they do not do what that book says. Oh, how many lives, how many people, how many stories have we heard? How many testimonies, how many lives have we seen? Just yesterday, I had to let the baseball team go early, Zach. Because one of their peers in high school just died. Sin, son. Sin ruined it. I'm talking about a high school boy just right here in our town. Oh, dear God. Sin getting a hold of them lives and destroying them. And nothing pleases the devil anymore. And nothing breaks the heart of God anymore than to see one that Jesus came to set free, one that he came to make free, die and go to hell. Doesn't please the Father. Let me say to the young people here, listen to me. If you rebel against mom and dad, when God said to obey your parents, God said to honor your parents, God said to honor them. Listen, friend, when you obey them, that's dinner at the house, and they tell you stuff to do, and they tell you the ways to go, and you say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and no, ma'am. I'll tell you what, you want to honor them. You get out there and lie down away from mom and dad, but mom and dad can't see you, hear you, find out about you, and you continue to obey them. That brings honor to your mom and dad. You get down there and act a fool, son, you'll be a disgrace to your family. Bring shame on the family name. No honor in that. No honor in seeing your name in the headlines for some stupid foolishness. No honor in that. God help us. Don't rebel, because I promise you, when you rebel against your mom and dad, you are ultimately rebelling against the God of all creation. God said the reason we're in the mess that we are is because people will not obey his word. You know what's going to happen, Steve? It's happened 10 billion times when young people disobey their parents. When young people dishonor their moms and dads. When young people dishonor the word of God. You know what happens? They get yourself bound in an ugly mess. So we make the most and we make the best out of our messes. But I promise you one thing, nonetheless, there's some messes we get ourselves bound into. Some of the scars and some of the baggage that we have to carry around all of our life because of stupid son, it didn't come from honoring God. It come from honoring this old flesh. It come from honoring our wicked hearts. It come from honoring our father, the devil. That's right. That's why he had to make a new creature out of us. Listen, when you got saved and that old black wicked heart didn't finish that while ago, that old black wicked heart, when you got saved, guess what happened? You talked about it. That Spirit of God, not the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God moved inside your black heart. Amen. And gave you a new heart. Hey, glory to God, he made you a new creation. Thank God for the Spirit of God taking up residence, cleaning me up on the inside out, making me free. Thank God my brother's fixing to walk away today. You know what? He don't have to look back, Zach, and wonder if they're coming after him. They're making him free today, son. He can walk out that gate and not have to look back, wonder if they're coming after him. That's a blessing, church, being made free. Listen, man, only way to get out of some of these gangs, the only way to get out of some of this mess that we get in is to die. Them gangs you start bailing out on, they'll come after you and kill you. I'm telling you, the devil ain't no exception to that rule, friend. He's after you. He'll try to destroy you. He'll try to take your life. But I'm telling you, thank God I'm safe in the arms of Jesus today. Amen. The grace of God keeps me. We'll hurry. When you rebel against the word of God, you'll get yourself bound in a mess. Then he said they contemn, look at verse 11. Then he said they contemn the counsel of the Most High. Zach, one more time, tell us what that contemned is. Count it as nothing. They said the word of God is nothing to me. You know how we can tell, Miss Amber, if the word of God means anything to us? When's the last time you picked it up and gave it any attention? Oh, preacher. I said, when's the last time you didn't get up and read Proverbs chapter 12 on the 12th day? I'm talking about when's the last time you searched the scriptures? When's the last time you dug in there? When's the last time the Bible said it's newborn babes? Hey, listen, not even a mature Christian. I'm talking about a babe in Christ.
God said, I'm going to give you a desire for my word.
Oh, it's amazing. We desire that paycheck on Friday. And I'll tell you what, I'll fight for it. But I wonder what it would be if somebody took the Bible from us. Would we even miss it? Good preaching, Dave. The Bible says they contemn the counsel of the Most High. They said, God, your counsel, your word means nothing to us. I can tell what it means to people. That's right. You know what the Bible says about those people that counts God's counsel as nothing? You know what the Bible said? I was thinking about this 2 or 3 days this week. You know what the Bible said about people like that? God said you was a fool. Right. About that, you're a fool, friend. If you don't take God's word serious, if you don't desire that word, if you don't lift up that word, if that word ain't the number one thing in your life, listen to me. I'm going to say what God said. You are a fool, friend. God said you was a fool. I want that to be clear. Because the word of God will be the top priority in your life. That word of God is Jesus in your life. That word of God is everything, son. That's how we raise our family. That's how we love our spouse. That's how we are good workers. That's how we get along in life. That's how we trust in Him. That's where our faith comes from. Everything about us is in that book, son. It ought to be top priority in our life. It is the written word of God. It's Jesus Christ in black and white. Amen. That book means everything to me. Oh, beloved, that book means everything to me. If you take the word of God from me, you might as well take my life from me. My life is based on that book. My relationship with my friends is based on that book. My relationship with my wife is based on this book. If you take the word of God from me, just take my life, friend, because life ain't really worth living. It's all empty. It's all just a longing in our soul that nothing else can satisfy. Verse number 12. What time is it? Oh, it's early. Verse number 12. Rod, what time y'all gotta leave? Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. How about that? Woo! These people that disobeyed the word, these people said it wasn't nothing to them. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. How about that? This makes me think of old David when he was in the bottom of that horrible pit, friend. I'm going to tell you, he said, I've looked on my right hand, there was no man. Refuge failed me. No man cared for me. Nobody could help me. You know who could help you when you was bound in your affliction? Nobody but Jesus. Nobody. Jesus Christ, the only one can help you. Isn't it amazing? When's the last time you talked to Him? Probably the last time you got in trouble. Probably the last time you got your life in a jam. You love Jesus? Won't you be honest? Take that word of God and say, God, you're right. I don't love you. Be honest. You ain't fooling God. God already knows you don't love Him. Just be honest and say, God, you're right. I love me. I love this world. I take care of the lust of my flesh and everything else. But God, when I get in trouble, I'll need you. That's right. That's where most of America is, Zach. Most of the church. I ain't even gonna say America. Most church people. David said this though, when I was in the bottom of that pit, he said, this poor man cried to the Lord. This poor man cried to AA. This poor man cried to N.A. This poor man cried to the 12-step program. He said, well, none of that help refuge failed him. He said, but the Lord heard me. And he brought me up also out of a horrible, I know I'm twisting them around, but he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Listen, what did God do when he brought you up out of that horrible pit? He set you on quicksand? Did he set you on sinking sand? Did he set you on unstable ground? Did he set you on a weak foundation? No. He set you on Jesus. Well, how in the name of God didn't he change? If you were set on Jesus and he established your goings, what does that mean? You don't go where you used to go. I don't go to honky-tonks no more, son. I don't go to beer joints, Michael. I don't go back down there to the pothead house anymore. I don't do that stuff. I used to do that. That's when I was in that pit, friend. But Jesus brought me out of that pit, set me up on himself, put me on his back, and carried me through the grace and mercy of God Almighty. I don't do what I used to do. The old songwriter wrote, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Hey, church, that is real. It ain't just a cute little lyric. That's for real. That's faux real. We're calling on what I'm telling you on. It's either for real or faux real. That's more than just a song to me. Amen. Boy, I know there's some folks up in this place right here can say amen right there. Thank God that you don't go to where you used to go. You ain't the man you used to be. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God he made me free. Hallelujah. He came to my old prison cell and made me free, church. He brought me up also out of that horrible pit. Look at verses 13 and 14. After God broke them down, he said, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's what people do, ain't it? They get in trouble and they start crying to the Lord. And that's okay. Because look at what the Lord did. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. There he was. Make them free. He's unlocking them. He's unlocking them shackles. He's taking them off. Amen. John David, if the Lord took them shackles off of us, sorry, it's not real, you don't have to be real smart. I mean, I can figure it out. But if the Lord takes them shackles off of you, and he opens that prison bar, and he don't just open up, he just jerks the whole flipping bar off. You ain't got to worry about being locked up no more. The bars are gone. The prison's gone. It's not even there anymore. Son, the prison don't even exist that he took me out of. Let me ask you this. Why are you still there? It's amazing, isn't it, Miss Holly, that people get made free and they still got these shackles on them. I don't know how that works. Somebody give me a Bible verse. Take time in your Bible and search your scriptures. Somebody give me a Bible verse and shows me where God sets a man, makes a man free, makes a man free, makes a man free, and they still got shackles. Somebody explain that. Give me one verse. Misconstrue one and give it to me. I'll give you 50 that blows it out of the water. Amen. I said, when he makes you free, you're free. Ain't no shackles. The prison's gone. The chains are gone. The guilt is gone. The shame. I'm telling you, friend, he makes you free. Give you this right here. Proverbs 5:22-23 says this. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with cords of sin. He shall die without instruction. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. There's that fool contemning the word of God, saying it's nothing to me. Look real quick. We're wrapping it up. Psalms, Isaiah, go to Isaiah 61. We'll wrap this up. I want you to see what some of these scriptures says. We okay, Isaiah? Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen. And the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, listen, beauty for ashes. When did God give you beauty for your mess? All the junk, when did God turn it into something beautiful? I know I ain't nothing to look at, but God took a mess, son. God took a mess of a man that was absolutely destroying his life and made something beautiful out of it. A vessel of honor, son, a vessel of honor.
Raj, how many testimonies have we heard about the ladies that got saved off the streets? Those ladies of ill repute selling their body to everything that comes along. And by the marvelous grace of God, He lifts them up out of that horrible pit. How many times have we heard about them sitting in a choir loft somewhere and the pastor say, hey, guess which one of us the prostitute? You can't tell one because God took that pile of ashes and turned it into something beautiful. It's what God wants to do with a sack. It's why the bars is gone, JD. That's why the rubbish is gone. That's what He wants to do. He wants to take a pile of ashes that's just a pile of nothing there and make something beautiful out of it. Only God can do that. I mean, only God can do that. Only God can take 12 barrels of water and pour them on a wooden altar and set it on fire. Nobody does that. God can take the impossible and turn it into possibilities in our life. God can take the messes that we make and turn it into something beautiful. You remember us talking about the dung and how they dug around the tree and put the dung on it, how it produced the big sweet watermelons and the beautiful ripe peaches. And God can take that mess and make a miracle out of it. He said He took and gave them beauty for ashes. What's this? The oil of joy for mourning. I'm trying not to preach everything I know, but we've got visitors here. Y'all just have to bear with me. Roger, we talk about these 401ks. You know, people goes down there to the job and get that money taken out for retirement. I'm glad I don't have to wait for heaven, son, to enjoy God. Heaven is my retirement. Do you hear me? Oh, I mean, at the end of all this wonderful wonders in my life, I get to look down the road and say, thank God, one of these days, I'm going to cross over Jordan. Hallelujah. I'm going to enter into that fair land. And all of our tears and sorrows and all that's going to be wiped away. But I want you to understand this. I was riding down the road yesterday. And Jesus come and sit in the car with me. And we got to thinking about Christianity just riding down the road and how good God is. And I was thinking about some of the blessings in my life. And I'm telling you, man, I got beside myself. Son, what are you talking about? I'm talking about I ain't waiting on heaven, ladies and gentlemen. There's a life of joy that we can enjoy today. There's a peace with God that we can have today. Hey, when I went to work last week, I wasn't wanting them people to pay me when I get 65. I want them to pay me when that job's done so that I can enjoy the fruits of my labors today, son. I'm just saying there's things with Jesus that we can enjoy today. Joy, peace, fellowship. Hey, all them good fruits of the Spirit is in there. Man, we can enjoy today. We got a payday today. Oh, R.G. Lee preached on a payday someday. I'm telling you, there's a payday every day with Jesus. If you wait and bless God that you get to heaven, you waited too long. Amen. He said that He'd give us joy for mourning. I don't know if there's any real good old sinners up in this congregation, but I promise you one thing, if you can remember that load that you was under, that oppression, that heaviness, that weight in your soul that Jesus took out of you, and He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You remember how Jesus took your mess and lightened your load? And His yoke was easy and His burden was light. That's what He's talking about, friend. Jesus Christ will take your loads. He'll take your mourning. He'll take that heaviness and turn it into laughter. He'll turn it into joy. Boy, if we'll just let Him. He said He gives us a spirit of praise instead of heaviness. Ain't that good? That's real good. I've never known anybody that was good to me all the time, and I can't blame them. I irritate people. I get on my own nerves, so I know I get on other people's nerves. I understand that, and you do too. Most of us just can't see how nerve-wracking we are. You know, somebody can say something ugly to me, and you know what? Before I get upset real good about it, I have to go, well, they don't know nothing. If they knew me like I knew me, they would have said a lot worse than that. Sometimes we think we're a little bit better than what we ought to. You know, you could be raised in a halfway decent home today. I mean, a mom and dad that cares about you, somebody that read the Bible to you, can ride a church bus or go faithfully to the church house. And you can get a little bit of trouble in your life and you can start feeling that tension, man. It just gets uncomfortable. And that conscience, because you've been raised a little bit decent, that conscience can bother you. That's right. Bother you a little bit. Many times, Steve, and I'm trying to get through here, but many times when trouble comes, people start to repent. Many times in people's lives, and I got a good Bible illustration, many times when heartaches come our way, when turmoil comes our way, boy, we want to run to Jesus Christ. Now, Steve and I's got a friend, and he's run with the devil all his life. And then he's getting down there to the end of his life, and his body is absolutely destroyed. And he's calling up, asking for prayer. Kind of guilty about it, but he's still doing it. Just what people does. Just what people does. I know another old boy that just went through about two DUIs, and he's got real religious. Got real religious. Real religious. I mean, he's flushed marijuana down his toilet, and man, he's cleaned up. He's doing right. And DUIs are still pending, though. Zach, if you remember, if you study that thing about Esau, be careful about judging Esau, ladies and gentlemen, but if you study the life of Esau, you're going to see what he was repenting of was the trouble in his life. He wasn't repenting for selling the birthright. You know what selling the birthright was? Selling the birthright was the sin. He wasn't repenting for the sin. He was sorry because the blessings were gone. He was sorry because of the trouble that came in his life from the sin. So because of the trouble, Esau started repenting. And God said, you're not repenting for the right thing. You're not repenting for the sin that you do. You know what that tells me? There's a lot of people starts repenting for the trouble in their lives, Zach. They start getting real spiritual when something happens in their life. Tell you what we ought to do, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to repent of the sin in our life. Face the sin that's in our heart. Face the sin that lies deep. How do you know what's in there? Rod, sometimes I don't even know how deep buried my sin and those things is hindering me from God and a closer walk with Him. You know what I gotta do? I gotta get in the blessed light of the gospel and let heaven shine His light into my soul and get back through all that junk and let God put His finger on the sins down tucked deep in my soul. So that word of God can shine that light in there and I can see what it is that's keeping me from Him. Oh, keeping me from a closer walk. This is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It's how we see down inside ourselves. Lord God, we're in a dark place. You can't see. Boy, I'm glad that God can turn our messes around, ain't you? John 8:32 talks about Jesus making you free. Now get it right. I put an emphasis on making you free and not setting you free. Setting free is what they do to people on probation. Making you free, son, they do away with a whole deal. It's over. It's over. Well, and he said, if you're free, you're free indeed. Mark 9:23-24 says this at the last verse. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. I believe them flannel graph lessons. I believe my mama. I believe my daddy. I believe my friends. I believe the Bible. I believe every bit of that stuff. That guy said, I believe. This is what he said. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe all that, but it ain't enough. My faith isn't. Would you give me your faith? Oh. Jesus gave that man his faith that day, and that man was able to go to heaven. You hear me? That man had the faith that every American in this world has that believes in Jesus Christ. But that wasn't enough faith, friend. My faith will doubt. My faith will waver. My faith will wonder. But the faith of Jesus Christ has settled my soul. It's made me free.
Made me free. Zach, if y'all will, because of the lyrics of that song, come sing that song, And Can It Be? I want y'all to just listen to the lyrics. Everybody does it. We'll say the blessing. I'll say it. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the service. Pray, God, that you'd penetrate the heart of God people sitting here today. Lord, I pray that you'd bring forth some fruit, God, for our labor. Help, dear God, man to see where he stands with the Holy God. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this food we're about to eat to our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good words, man. Them lyrics fit that message.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. Tis mercy all immense and free, for amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's nigh. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine, bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Thank you. Roger, dismiss us, please.